Construct family. We're back hanging out with Kyle Kingsbury this week. Had an awesome weekend again. Can you believe this is two weekends in a row? The Shrugged fam is just killing it over here on the West Coast. Viviana and I got invited to Laird and Gabby Reese's house this past weekend to go through the XPT industry weekend to check out all the things that they're working on over at XPT right now. Pretty revolutionary stuff going on. It's very interesting. Probably for the last 3 years, I've been kind of really interested in what the next level of training is. I have been, after 10, 11 years in the CrossFit world, I needed to grow out of that and find out what else was out in the fitness world. A lot of what transpired in that was just kind of breath work, performance training on a level that was probably not based in speed and intensity, but in quality of movement, mindset, presence, mindfulness, things along those lines, and being a lot more internal with my performance than focusing on purely the external. And it's been really interesting because as I've siloed these kind of pieces like breath work, lifting weights, understanding the nervous system, going from sport into the muscles and strength training, and then into kind of the joints, tissues, ligaments, mobility, stability, pieces like that, and then getting into the nervous system, I kind of siloed this training out and it's never really taken shape. 10, 11 years ago when I found CrossFit, there was these pieces of my life that I was kind of training but missing, which really led to CrossFit and why I was so deep in that world. Coming out of college, I was dying to find another team of people that were training really hard. I loved lifting weights. I loved playing sports. And when I found CrossFit, it combined all of these things together and created a new sport for me. And that new sport exploded into what it is today. Not because of me, but I was just an early adopter in that sport. What I found this weekend at XPT is felt very similar to that. I've trained the nervous system. I've been in ice baths. I've been in saunas. I've learned about heat shock proteins. I've kind of been in this idea of how do we train but not get our body to go into this sympathetic response? How do we maintain a parasympathetic response even though we're under intense stress? And they're doing it. Laird and Gabby have literally created a program up there at their home in Malibu in which they are testing the limits of human potential and doing it in a manner in which the most relaxed, calmest person wins. And it's a really interesting thing to me to see how you can be underwater running with weights and telling your body that you're going to be okay. There's no oxygen, there's no air, there's no anything. It's just you, the weights, and you talking to your body, telling it it's going to be okay. You're going to get to the other end. You have enough oxygen already. And you really find that the mental barriers that we all deal with every single day, the physical barriers, we have more in the tank. Spending a week up with Gabby, who hands down is probably one of the best coaches I've ever seen in my life. There's nothing more impressive than kind of looking up at a pool to a 6'3", just savage that has the most calming voice and is giving you exactly what you need to get through whatever workout and training piece that you're getting through. Fully aware that she is putting in the work and has put in the work and has gold medals to back it up, and just somebody that just really embodies what it means to be a coach. I only probably spent 2 to 3 hours specifically being coached by her, but when you're in the presence of people that just command a room and demand that level of respect and presence when you're working with them, you know why they're the best in the world at what they do. And very, very impressive what transpired up at XPT this weekend. It was an experience that really kind of combined a lot of the things that I've been working on personally, and a lot of the beliefs that I had put together in my own life and things that I had been training, but I had never seen it in such a full and complete package as I did. So if you guys are able to get to an XPT event, we will hopefully be working with them in the future. And I know Viviana and I will be putting out a proof episode probably in 6-ish weeks, with all the content and the workouts. But man, there's some very next level conversations happening in that pool and with the people that are training up there. And we're lucky enough to have Kenny Kane and Andy Galpin, who are very much a part of that conversation on our team here at Shrugged. And man, the caliber of people that we get to hang out with here and converse with on a daily basis, it is impossible not to be at the forefront of strength conditioning and just human performance on all levels, from the brain, the body, the nervous system. Just, man, super grateful to be here and just be able to see what the future looks like and be a part of that conversation of the people that are really driving the conversation forward, and just not accepting the status quo. It was something that I was looking for when I found CrossFit 12 years ago, and I feel very, very lucky and very grateful that I am seeing a small piece of it transforming in front of my eyes after being there this weekend and being around those people and understanding the vision and the mission and what they're trying to bring to the fitness world. So they're probably not listening, but thank you to PJ, Laird, and Gabby for having Viviana and I. We had a blast, and man, it was just so cool to see all the questions that I've had over the last 3 years when it comes to training, and all the things that I've been putting together just come together in one package that just really helped transform the way that I view training just in one short day. If you guys are interested in learning about more of this training piece, make sure you get into the Shrug Collective Vault. We have 11 programs in there, from Olympic lifting, strongman, mobility, nutrition, food prep. Everything is in there. There's 11 programs, 3 long-term programs, and 8, I did the math right, there's 8 short-term programs. So short-term programs, you're looking at 3 months. They can be pieced together, they can be used as accessory programs, or just use them as your own programs, squat programs, getting your first pull-up, all kinds of fun programs in there that you guys can add to your workouts or combine them together to create your own training program. Also, Flight Weightlifting, the Muscle Gain Challenge, and the Shrugged Strength Challenge, all 18 plus month programs. We already have a ton of results in our private Facebook group of people that are just crushing it. Get over to shruggedcollective.com/vault. If you have any questions, hit me up on Instagram at Anders Varner. Send me a DM. I will answer all your questions. We can set up a call. We can talk about training. I love doing it. And it's just great meeting all of you guys. So shrugcollective.com/vault. Also, get over to organifi.com/shrugged. Saving 20% on your first purchase. We love these people every single day. I'm waking up, taking my green drink. I got my red and my gold for the rest of the day. I also love taking their gut health pills. Let's be honest, Organifi just crushes when it comes to really simple and effective ways to get the vitamins, minerals, gut health, all the things that you need that you are going to struggle getting in your daily life. There just isn't enough time to be a part of the daily routine that you need to be in, eating all the vegetables. Life is too fast. You're not thinking about your gut health all the time. You're not thinking about vitamins and minerals every single time you sit down to eat. But if you get your green drink, your gold drink, and your red drink, and take some gut bacteria, gut pills, life just gets better. So get over to Organifi.com/shrugged. Save 20% on your first purchase. Organifi.com/shrugged. 20% off your first purchase. And enjoy the show with Kyle Kingsbury. Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Anders Varner. We're here with Doug Larson, Mr. Strong Coffee in the house, Adam Von Rothfelder.
Yo.
We're at Onnit Academy, or not Onnit Gym. There's so many Onnit things. Onnit Cafe. We spent all of our money on human optimization,
all
the mushroom
monies,
coffee,
all the, monies.
The peanut butter and jelly keto. We
Delicious.
Made it. Got in at what, 1 o'clock last night, 3 hours of sleep. We get to hang out with Kyle Kingsbury today. Really stoked to... get into kind of the high-level MMA that you were training at for a long time, and now a little bit of the longevity and the supplements, training, and just kind of those key pieces that you're taking forward in your ideas of longevity and how everyone can start to think about training a little bit differently for the rest of their life.
Yeah, similar for me. Like I'm always interested to hear how people go from being a professional athlete to still continuing to train, but at a lower level than they used to be, where it's not their whole life. But how do you still stay healthy? How do you stay strong and athletic, even though you don't have that carrot in front of you of being like the best fighter or the best hockey player or what have you? So,
yeah, and I mean on that same level, I'm just as excited with the idea of how your past as a professional fighter led into the idea of being the human, you know, the optimization. Expert and, you know, the head of everything here when it comes to that at Onnit.
The head of everything.
No, when it comes to...
That's actually his title.
Yeah.
Head of everything. Director of everything. Yeah, it's on my business card.
Yeah. Aubrey doesn't like it, but that's just the way it is.
He gave me the title. I think he's cool with it.
But I think a lot of people want to be like, oh, like, I'm in this spot and I want to get to this spot. And it's cool to see, you know, meeting you 2 years ago and then seeing, like, where you are today. It's like time travel. It's really cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so before we get too far down the rabbit hole on where we're at today, where did this journey kind of start for you, getting into the fight game a little bit and the training leading up to that? Maybe some of the mental pieces that go into being a professional fighter.
Yeah, well, it you know, I didn't know that I wanted to fight. I fought a lot growing up, but it really transitioned after football at ASU. You know, I played football, wanted to continue on in the NFL, but sitting on the bench, I saw that my odds were low.
Yeah.
As in zero.
That half percent of people that make it.
Yeah. Well, I watch guys that started every game all 4 years on the defensive line not go pro. You know, So that's the jump that people have to make, that people don't really realize what it takes to get there. And I understood that. You know, I saw the writing on the wall. I also realized that I didn't want to sit at a desk job, and I didn't want to try to figure out what to do with the shitty degree. Can we say that on
yeah.
there?
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's 100%. I always have to ask people because I curse so much on my podcast.
You're allowed to hate on academics here,
but,
that's for sure.
So, you know, I was thinking about different things, and I just realized, like, I need to train still. I was going in. I went from training with Coach House, Joe Ken, who's, you know, an amazing strength coach.
Mm-hmm. We're looking to get him on the show one of these days.
Oh, yeah, man. I can set that up for you guys. No problem.
Okay.
You know, he's a good friend.
Yeah, and, our friend Travis Mass, an excellent weightlifting coach, has been trying to hook us up with him for a long time. We haven't made it. The schedules work.
I'll make the call, man, for sure.
Right on.
But House has been – instrumental in pushing me past what I thought my limits were.
Yeah.
You know, like he took me whatever I thought my limit was, he got me past that over and over again until I realized there's no limit. Mm-hmm. And that's something I carried with me through MMA. But you know, I went from training with him and the whole team, and you got guys pushing each other in the gym, and to now I'm running on a treadmill and lifting weights just for the sake of looking better. And it sucked. It really sucked. You know, I missed that camaraderie and team. And I also miss the human interaction of what it was like playing on the defensive line. Like, you're butting heads with people every day.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Physicality.
That was gone.
Physicality is so real.
What years were you at ASU?
2002 to 2005.
Oh, wow.
And so when I finished, I took about a year off. I was pretty depressed and battled quite a bit in that. I won't go down the rabbit hole there, but I did a solo cast for Onnit, if you want to check that out, going through the rabbit hole there. And then found mixed martial arts, started training just for the sake of training, and, you know, really loved it. And went to a gym where the guy happened to have a small local promotion in Arizona, and he was like, dude, you're big, you're good looking, you got to fight heavyweight for me. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to.
I won't be pretty anymore. Yeah. You're going to ruin it.
This is the money maker. Yeah.
We need more sexy heavyweights.
It's like, man, I don't know that I want to fight people that are trained professionals. Like, yeah. I'm happy to defend myself in a bar or something like that. But he's like, just do it once. You know, get your feet wet. If you like it, you can do it again. If you don't like it, you never have to do it again. I was like, all right. First two fights, I won in under 30 seconds, and I was absolutely hooked. I mean, the feeling you have when you hit a home run is magnified by 1,000. Like, if you knock somebody out, like, that kind of control and domination was something I really craved, and it was at a time in my life where I wanted to beat the shit out of somebody. So it paired well, and decided to really start training then. After I took my first loss, moved back to where I was from in the Bay Area and trained at AKA, which is one of the best gyms in the world. You know, Cain Velasquez was there.
Yeah.
DC came a little bit later. Luke Rockhold was there. You know, I mean, it was the right fit, you know, and it was a fucking hard deal. Yeah. It really was, but it was beautiful because I learned so much, and that's what facilitated me wanting to learn more. You know, I couldn't just spend time playing video games in between the practices. I had to read. I had to learn about mobility. I had to learn about recovery. I had to learn about diet, health, and wellness and nutrition to get any edge I could. Mm-hmm. For competition, so I could be the best version of myself, and that's something that fighting gave me that I always have gratitude for.
You didn't have to, but you wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot of guys. I mean, fuck, Cormier is one of the best in the world, and that dude plays video games every day.
Oh, yeah.
He's also an Olympic-level wrestler, so he can get away with that shit. Yeah. I had more to learn, you know?
I'm good friends with his trainer, and it's camp is very different than his life.
Yeah.
The human optimization piece, though, that's kind of where your focus is now, and your training, the supplementation piece. But how has that transition been a little bit? I think as athletes, I think we all kind of get into this game chasing athletics, and then we realize, like, oh, I got to find a way to do this for the rest of my life. And, you know, we were talking pre-show, injuries, things pile up. What does that look like for you now?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, anytime you try to peg that meter at full and keep it pinned as long as you can, you're going to overtrain. You're going to run into issues. And that's why we see that in the sport of mixed martial arts. So many guys come into camp and they beat themselves up. You're just pulled in every direction. You got a boxing coach that wants you to hit mitts. Jiu-jitsu guys want you in the gi. You got to spar. You got to wrestle. You got to do so much. You still got to get your weight training and cardio in. And it's just too taxing.
Yeah.
So finding balance was key for me. Victor Conti, surprisingly, was one of the guys that taught me through blood work how to look at my body and really start to listen and pay attention, you know when to pull back, know when to relax. And Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell was the first guy I trained with that was Hall of Famer level that would take every Wednesday off. He would go for an easy run on the track. That was his middle of the week day off. And then he would still have a light practice Saturday and nothing on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, man, if he can do that, then we can do that.
Because that was throughout his career, or that was when he was training with you a little bit later?
It was.
You know, is he in his 40s when he's doing this?
Man, he was late 30s, you know. I mean, I trained with him his last two fights of his career. Lived with him down in San Luis Obispo, trained with Coach Hackelman. And I learned so much from him there, you know. But I don't know what his training looked like early on in his career. I'm sure he'd fine-tuned and refined some things over time. But that really helped me. And then, you know, you come out of fighting and it's like, okay, I don't have to be at that level anymore. And it's funny because I hated high intensity intervals at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, I hated putting myself through the grinder because I had done it for 8 years. So I got into like chi running, you know, like slow nose breathing, long distance runs I do with my wife.
Chi running. Going for, awesome.
Going, there's a book called Chi Running.
Guys, watch me go slow. It's awesome.
Like, the Matrix.
Really couldn't even call it running. It's more like chi pace walking, jogging.
Like a moving meditation.
Yeah. And so I got into that and got into powerlifting. And powerlifting is awesome. You know, like I still like moving heavy weight. And I was training with Jesse Burdick for quite some time, and really, you know, the guy taught me how to squat, and I found so much beauty in his work because it wasn't just about getting stronger. I mean, I was building mobility at the same time. My squat was getting deeper as I was getting stronger. My body moved better as I was adding strength and size. Ultimately, though, still wanting to do jiu-jitsu, I realized, like, there is a point of diminishing returns with the size that I had put on, so started adding in more high-intensity intervals, obviously coming here to On It. has been a big change. We've got every weird tool in the fucking game here. You know, getting in with maces to open up the shoulders, subscap. I mean, there's so much to the tools. And I still power lift every now and then, not at the same pace that I used to. I think it's valuable. I mean, people need to pick up heavy shit. Yeah. That's a no-brainer, you know. But at the same time, I really like, you know, employing some of the different, you know, kettlebell snatches, things like that, mace work, and just trying to adopt a little bit of everything so I'm a bit more well-rounded. Yeah. And then still incorporating high-intensity intervals, which I still don't like, but it's important.
A lot of my friends that are getting older really find that only doing a heavy lift, like maybe even twice a month, is enough to maintain their strength without beating themselves up.
Yeah, I think I forget the guy's name, Doug McGuff, the doctor who wrote Body by Science.
The back doc?
No, that's McGill.
McGill. I'm sorry, McGill.
He's the guy that's big on the ARX trainer. I know Bulletproof Dave Asprey's been big on him, but, I mean, a lot of people have been big on him. He talks about, you know, if you go max effort, maybe one every 10 days do you need to work out. I'd rather work out just for the sake of getting the euphoria and the pump and feeling good. You know? Yeah, man, I enjoy it, so it's not something where I want to pace that three times a month, but I like breaking that into different things, you know. It might be jiu-jitsu, it might be yoga, it might be just jumping rope and shadow boxing. It might be a 20-minute high-intensity interval on an assault bike.
Yeah.
But just mixing it up that way. Yeah.
A lot of people that have been training their whole lives, like, they get done competing, but they still want to train every day just because it's like, it's just what they do. Like, it's who they are. They just enjoy it. Like, they don't want to take the day off because they need to recover. They want to go in and do something just because that's how they break their day up, and it's like something fun to do. And in a lot of people's cases, it's like where they see their friends.
Yeah.
But I actually, the gym, I don't see my friends today.
Yeah.
I actually really struggle talking about working out sometimes because people think that there's some like magic thing. I have some big goal or something. I'm like, no. I just want to show up and be with my friends and have a real conversation with my body. And it's really challenging to tell somebody that you don't really care about the result. You just want to be there and you know, have things start adding up to a really healthy life.
I think that's the absolute key that most people miss. And Dan John said that was like one of his biggest tips he could ever give somebody is just show up. That's 90% of it. Just show up. You're beat up, just show up. You'll warm up. You'll move your body. You'll feel better afterwards. You're feeling great. Not sure if you want to max out or just show up. Make the decision when you're warming up. Like, it doesn't have to be something where it's like, man, all right, I wrote down my entire workout before I got here, and I'm going to be pissed if I don't get every set and rep in.
Yeah.
It's like, no, man, just show up. Just
I missed my
something.
Number.
Yeah. I'm reminded by this quote from John Berardi, forever, for everyone, for always. And we get locked in this, like, psychological position that either causes us to fail or overtrain and eventually, like, lead to injury. And it's like, oh, I can't, you know, our introduction to training was in, you know, high school sports, and we trained like so hard. And then when we go to college, or, you know, if we're playing college sports, and we train so hard in college, and then we no longer have that allotment of time after that life is done. And we can't even conceptualize how fitness happens if we don't have 2 hours to commit to it, 6 days a week, you know, 100% effort. And like getting over that, I think, is kind of the secret to, you know, being able to just show up and just like be happy with showing up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find that, you know, especially having the podcast and talking with people on Facebook Live often with all the questions, and I'm sure you guys know because you've been in the game way longer than I have. The one thing we're all missing is time, right?
Yeah.
And so I know that now I know, and I didn't know this in the past, but now I know I don't have to beat myself up to get results. And so with that, it's really rare that I spend an hour in the gym. The times that I commit an hour to training is for a yoga class that's 90 minutes or a jiu-jitsu class that's 90 minutes. Other than that, with warm-up, mobility, and stretching and all that stuff pre and post, I'm maybe looking at 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I can get a lot accomplished in that time if I'm efficient with it and I know what I'm going to. And I think there's been a lot of freedom in that because it's not a huge time commitment. Obviously, my desk is right – it's in the gym, so I can just walk right over and get stuff done. But I'm out of here in under an hour with 15 to 20 minutes of sauna post-workout. That's a pretty sweet deal.
I'm about to get one of those after this interview.
You know it.
Yeah, you've had a lot of you have a huge foundation where it's like, you know, other people that are looking for results that don't have that physiological foundation. Do you feel like they could commit the same amount of time? And do you feel like that's like the case for someone who's like, I've never worked out before and now this is what I want to do? Are they able to, you know, achieve and feel and get the results that, you know, somebody like you who's been doing it your whole life and in that same amount of time?
Well, I think that consistency is key for anybody, you know, and there's no real science that says if you go past 40 minutes into an hour and a half that you're going to get that many more gains. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might be more sore from the workout, but truthfully, I think it's better for people to, if they could work out 5 days a week for 30 minutes, that's better than crushing themselves 3 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends what your goal is. I mean, if you are trying to powerlift, yeah, by all means, crush it. Get that in, work on mobility, have days off in between, fully recover, all those things. But if the goal is just to move better and to feel better, it's better to do things more consistently, to keep showing up and to have variety.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Figure out a way to go enjoy yourself.
Yeah, fitness shouldn't be so damn serious.
You mentioned training with Hackelman and Chuck Liddell. Some pretty decent mentors you've had in your life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to name drop the shit out of some
people
right now.
Do it. I love name dropping. Killer.
When I was on the Ultimate Fighter, big Nog, Ding! Noguera.
Ultimate Fighter, go ahead.
Yeah, there's one. Start the clicker. So Big Nog was my coach, and he brought in Anderson Silva, who was supposed to come for 3 days. He stayed for 2.5 weeks. Lyoto Machida stayed for 3 weeks. I mean, we were surrounded by.
What season was that?
Season 8. And, you know, just very fortunate. And I was a white belt in jiu-jitsu, so truthfully, I didn't pick up half of what I could have as a purple belt or a brown belt. But, you know, just an excellent way to be surrounded by top-tier talent that could teach me a lot and soak that in and know what – I mean, those guys truly embodied what it meant to be a martial artist, not just a fighter, but to have that martial arts mentality. And that was really special because I think that's lost – quite often in today's fight game. You know, these guys really embodied what you think of when you think of like a guy like Bruce Lee.
Yeah, because Chuck Liddell was a Kyokushin, right? Wasn't that one of his original forms? It was a form of karate of some sort?
Yeah, I think it was.
He used to just drop bombs on people.
Starts with an S.
Yeah. That's right. It's not Kyokushin.
No, it starts with an S. I don't know. It'll come to me. But yeah, that's Hackelman's background. Yeah, he got a black belt.
Is that Shotokan?
Maybe. Karate.
Yeah, anyway.
Maybe.
Yeah. There it is.
Nerding out on martial arts.
Details. I think Chuck Liddell, all I think is like open hooks and big right hands.
Yeah, especially in the early days of the UFC when he was just massacring people.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what bar did they find him in where he killed everyone? And then you realize like, oh, no, that guy's like legit. Like he's been in the game a long time and he's very technical. But, where I know nothing about UFC, really. I just remember watching that guy being like, oh, God, that hurt. But, yeah, training with those guys and having the mentors, like, how much time were you spending with those guys? And what does maybe their day, maybe not the day, but the way that they are throughout their day, like, you're not just in the gym for, an hour, 40 minutes, whatever it is. Like, this is a lifestyle piece, and what are those guys doing at the top level? What are you doing at the top level when you're in that life and – making it, it's a 24-hour-a-day process from what you eat, how you train, the mentality that you carry with you. How much of that stuff is still with you and the way that you're going about, you know, the current projects you're working on?
You know, it's different for everyone. Chuck and a lot of the guys at AKA have people do their food for them. You know, they get prepared meals. I never had that kind of finances to throw that out there. Plus, I also knew better than most of the people making the food just because it was a passion of mine. So I like being in the kitchen. I like making my own food and making it fresh, not doing meal prep for fucking 7 days worth of food on a Sunday. And but that's how they would eat, you know, scheduled massages, stretching, those kind of things. And really it's just about incorporating as much in your off time for active recovery as possible. You know, the guys that just sit on their ass and don't do anything, they're not getting better. They're not helping their body heal as fast. And I think at the very least, you know, getting some body work in between practices has become – the norm and the standard now for high-level guys. And again, I couldn't, you know, it's not like I could shell out a bunch of cheese for massage therapists to come over to the house, so I'd be digging through becoming a supple leopard and getting up against the wall for some super couch stretches and things like that and just figuring out different ways I can open up my body using myself, you know, and I think that's been an absolute necessity, especially being done with fighting how can I open up my body and really work on myself without having to pay somebody a good grip of cheese, yeah, you know, to get that done. I think that's been critical. But, you know, I mean, people do have to – they have to have fun. They have to learn how to play. They have to figure out what works for them. And that could mean you know, it could mean video games for one guy. It could mean just sitting around with your family and playing games. It could be watching your favorite TV show, whatever. But you got to have some type of downtime. When I was fighting out in California, we'd go to the beach all the time. You know, it was a 45-minute drive to Santa Cruz, and my wife and I would go there and just really unwind and get in the water. And, you know, it's nice and cold, too, so we were getting some of those benefits before, yeah, even learning about Wim Hof. Mm-hmm. And I think just a way to unplug, you know, a way to really reset the mind to – it can't all be fighting. You can't always be thinking about that. So how you differentiate, disassociate, and pull your mind out of that sphere is important. It's important for anybody to learn that with work, because how, yeah, often do we take our work home with us? You know, I learned that from Ben Greenfield, who I find to be a huge mentor. But when I was at his house, I was asking.
Which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, he's a great dude. But I was asking him. I was like, man, I had this idea that you were kind of like Captain Fantastic with Viggo Mortensen. You know, you'd have your kids, like, completely off-grid and all that. And he's like, no, you know, I was homeschooled till, you know, through K through 12, and I realized, like, I don't play well with others. So my kids, they go to a private school. I get all my work done at 4. So when they show up at home, I'm 100% invested in them. And that's where I teach them the stuff that they don't learn in school. I teach them bow hunting. I teach them how to forage for medicinal mushrooms and different edible plants. And that's where I get to be dad. So I really took that to heart. And now – when I get home, I'm not on my phone. I'm not looking at emails or checking the Slack app for those of us in the business world now.
Slack.
I'm not looking in at any of that stuff. Yeah. My phone goes on mute. I'll take a look at it before I go to bed and then just throw it on airplane mode, and that's about it. You know, I get to be full-time dad when I get home, and that not only gives more to my son, but it gives more to me because I'm not pulled in six different directions at once. I can really just be present with him and kind of unplug from office life, which is oddly what I have signed up for.
A second ago, you mentioned cold water and the benefits that you mentioned the benefits, but there are benefits to that. And you mentioned Wim Hof, and then earlier you mentioned getting into the sauna as a part of the end of your workout. Like, what have you found with using heat stress, if you want to call it that? What have you found as the benefits to you personally for doing cold water and or sauna work?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I had really found out about Wim Hof on Tim Ferriss and then again on Rogan's and taken the deep dive on that. Obviously, when I was with Adam down at XPT, they were really big into that. You know, you start the day with contrast. So they've got a sauna that's juiced up to 220 degrees Fahrenheit, three ice baths at 33 degrees, you know, and you do 3 to 5 minutes in the ice bath, 10 to 15 minutes in the sauna for three rounds on an empty stomach. That's how you start the day. It feels, ooh, pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I don't have a sauna at the house, but
it's impossible not to wake up with that setup. You are awake.
I'd wake up before those, and he'd have us doing monkey chanting before you guys would show up, and we're like in the basement doing monkey chanting. I'd damn near pass out from breathing. It'd be like,
let's get turned on. Show me the monkey chant later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know anything about the monkey chant.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Should we do it right now?
We would get in the breathing. Yeah. We'd get in the breathing. And then he'd start making a noise. We're like, ha da da ha da, ha da da da. And we would start doing it. We'd just start copying them. And then, in a group of like 10 people, we all started like synchronously, like at the same time, changing our exact breath tone. Mm. And it was like we didn't even know what was happening next. And then we'd all be in a different breath and like a different chant. And it was like, ha, 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 ha. You know, and there's these Balis monkey chanting, and that's kind of where they got it from.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Half the time I'm in a room like that, I'm wondering if, like, the whole thing's a big fucking joke or, like, how much should I be invested in what we're doing right now? Am I being punked right now?
Right. We're in there, and it's like to my right is, you know, this actor, this guy, and they're all like, ha la 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 la, ha la 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 la, ha la la la. And I'm, like, looking around like, holy shit, I'm, like, doing ha-la-la-la next to, like, Superman over here. Like, what the – you know, like –
well, they're butt in.
Yeah, exactly.
I was at a conference one time, and we were doing things like that. And then the guy told everyone to sit up straight in their chairs. And then he goes, repeat after me. And he was like, So now the whole room's going, And then he's like, okay, now sway back and forth. And everyone starts swaying back and forth going, And I was like, okay. And everyone's kind of looking around, like, should I be doing this right now? And then he's like, okay, now repeat after me. We are not a cult. We are not a cult. Everyone's fucking laughing. Like, okay, we were being punked.
Like, well, just pickpocketed you while you were swaying back and forth. Like, where'd all the money go?
Did you feel better when you were doing the humming?
Well, I think at the time I was just being like, okay, what the fuck are we doing?
Is this when they serve the
Kool-Aid? I don't think I was feeling better. I was more confused.
Because there is some science on humming and chanting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A mind-heart connection.
Yeah, man. And so what happens is because you're slowing down your exhale, you're dipping into parasympathetic. So you literally shift the state of your being simply by slowing down the exhale. And most people will teach you in yoga like 4 seconds in, 8 seconds out.
Like
4 seconds in, 7 seconds hold, 8 seconds out, those kind of things all shifting into parasympathetic. But the longer the exhale, the more blood flow you get to the brain. Mm-hmm. So if you're going, you're literally getting more blood to the brain.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you are bought in, obviously there's some placebo there, but if you're bought in, then you can start to feel that and sense that.
Right.
As far as the hot and cold, man, I mean, they're two of the easiest biohacks on earth. They really are. We're designed to have temperature extremes. You know, we go from climate-controlled cars to climate-controlled office to climate-controlled home, and we never experienced that. So as far and then going back to time, I mean, I've followed Dr. Rhonda Patrick for years. Obviously, she's big into the sauna. Mm-hmm. There's tons. I mean, it just goes up exponentially the longer you're in it. So 60% drop in all-cause mortality if you're in there 7 days a week for an hour. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not doing shit for 7 days a week, an hour at a time, and I can get a lot of the benefits from 5 to 10 minutes in the cold bath. And as far as, like, hacking meditation, like, to anybody that's ever done a cold bath, you realize you can't think about a damn thing else.
No. Yeah.
You're not thinking about your wife. Present. Yeah, you're not thinking about your kid being a jerk. You're not thinking about your boss yelling at you. Yeah. Like, you are just fucking in the zone. And it's an immediate hack. And you have to slow down because if you're huffing and puffing, mm-hmm. you're not doing Wim Hof breathing in the cold because that moves the cold around. That makes you more cold.
You'll create shock in a way, too. Yeah.
And you're panicking in the fight, right? Yep. So you have to stay calm and present in the fight. And by doing that, slowing the breathing down, breathing through the nose, you dip into parasympathetic.
Right.
So, and there's a ton of science on how much it raises dopamine and adrenaline, which is obviously feel-good neurochemicals, but boosts the immune system. So lowering inflammation, I mean, you kill so many birds with one stone. And there's fat loss. So it's like that's a cute side effect that I'll take, as a bonus.
Yeah, Stephen Kotler talks a lot about that. Like all types of extreme physical stressors are extremely presencing. So it's a way to have some type of meditation without really trying to meditate.
Yeah, you hack flow. And one of the beauties, I was just talking with this guy, Casper, who's one of Wim Hof's head trainers. He came out from the Netherlands to be on the show and on the On It podcast. And he was talking about how the things that we do, and we know this from jiu-jitsu, Adam, but when you put yourself in a shitty spot, when you put yourself in a stressor, the more times you navigate those waters calmly, the easier that extrapolates out to everyday stressors in life, right? So if I go into the cold bath, which is an immediate stressor and shock to the body, and I can learn to control my breathing and be present and find stillness in that, that really does go to everything, every other possible situation where I can find stress. If I can tie in that memory into my brain, because neurons that fire together wire together. If I just take those deep inhalations in and out of the nose, the next time somebody cuts me off in traffic or my wife blows up for not doing something I should be doing.
Which never happens.
Never happens. She's an angel. She's an
you're
angel.
On your own on that one.
I'm speaking about other
never
people.
Felt that.
Other people's relationships. But the body remembers. You know, I take that nice deep breath in through the nose, out through the nose, slowly on the exhale, and it remembers the calmness inside the storm, remembers the eye of the hurricane, and that shit goes to every possible avenue for stress. So there's so much to that. And that's it's pretty easy to get that dialed in. You know, I was spending $60 to $80 on ice every time. I spent way more than $500 on ice in my lifetime. And Kelly Starrett and Matt Vincent were telling me about just get a chest freezer, get it on Craigslist. And ultimately, there's too many hunters here in Austin and Texas, so I just bought a brand new one, but it was $550, free delivery from HomeDepot.com. No affiliation with them. I'm not throwing out a sponsor here.
I've got an affiliate link. Home Depot, so get your 2x4s.
Code word Kingsboo at checkout. I get 10%.
They're like, who?
Yeah, it was, but having that, never having to spend money on ice, it's Energy Star efficient. It's not taking a ton. It hasn't added much to my electricity bill at all.
And when you only plug it in like a couple hours before, right?
We plug it in for, I think, 6 hours, 3 days a week.
Got it.
And that'll drop it into the 30s. My wife and I will warm it back up to the 50s. And we vary the time that we're in there based on how cold it is. But it gets the job done every time.
So she does a lot of this with you? The cold water immersion stuff?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's so beneficial for the mitochondria. And talking about longevity, like what do we do for longevity? Mm-hmm. We understand everything looks at metabolism. You know, cancer is a metabolic theory. Is beautiful, right? Then we can begin to look at things differently. And a lot of people don't want to go into a ketogenic diet, but maybe intermittent fasting can be something that everyone does that has the similar benefits or better.
Right.
And certainly accomplishable. Like if we narrow down that eating window and kind of reverse that, we're not designed to wake up and eat all the way until we go to sleep. Little trick doing that, combining it with some type of temperature extreme, we're influencing the mitochondria. And that influences all of our energy systems. You know, that's more cognitive energy. People talk about falling flat on their face in the afternoon. You probably ate a shitty lunch, you know, or you didn't get good sleep, or your body's not tuned in to the environment. So getting some cold first thing in the morning can keep you energized all day long, you know. And there's so many little tricks that we have that we fail to implement because we know it's hard.
Well, I mean, I'll speak on your abilities of, you know, practicing what you preach, which is, you know, everybody, you know, out of the XPT cast at that time was so impressed with your ability to the cold, the heat, the water for a guy your size. It was like something that you were like, you know, and then seeing you on the ground and being mobile, and you obviously, you know, you put a lot into it. And what's interesting is like how much of that I'd like to know came from that knowledge came from either, you know, preventative or trying to recover from something. So it's like we learn the most from our injuries, and you know, being a fighter, being at USC, and you were like, oh, I had to learn mobility. Was it injury and that stuff that kind of prompted you like down this road? Was there like injuries, or was it you seeing people being injured and being like, I need to figure this out?
No, it was definitely my own. You know, right when I got into becoming a supple leopard, I had chronic knee pain from football, and I thought I was going to need surgery, but it was mid-camp. And I was, you know, we have the shittiest insurance on earth in the UFC. So it was like, wait till the fight, then tell them you hurt your knee in the fight.
Yes.
That way you can get it. You can get surgery paid for.
Yep. Right.
And what's funny is, you know, I'm 4 weeks into camp, and somebody hooked me up with a book. I think my buddy Tom Lawler, and started doing a lot of the different, you know, voodoo floss and the lacrosse balls behind the knee where you sit on the ground and bring your heel to your ass for 2 minutes each side.
Mm-hmm. Those are fun.
All of a sudden, my knee pain's gone, you know, and it didn't come back. It stayed gone. And let's take a look at the MRI, and they're like, well, you're bone on bone. You're going to need some type of knee replacement down the road. You're going to have arthritis. But guess what? There is zero pain the more that I keep those knees working through voodoo floss and shit like that. It's like, oh, okay, you know, maybe a little bone broth and maybe some mobility, and then I have no pain.
Mm-hmm. Have you had an x-ray since that, all that? You know, like any regeneration of any sort?
No MRIs done, but I mean, I literally have no pain in that knee from that. You know, it's like as long as I keep moving properly and keep that oxygenated and get the blood flow in there, I'm good to go. And so that was the first, like, there's moments in time that you have where things click all together and you realize, like, oh, this is a lifelong practice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think having tools like that, the more tools we have in the toolbox, the more we realize, like, we can fix ourselves, we can heal. And I've needed surgery. I needed a surgery on my right shoulder. Becoming a supple leopard was something I leaned heavily on to get back full range of motion. You know, like there's a time and a place for surgery, but I think the better we are at preventing that, the easier life is. You know, that was a 1 year layoff with the shoulder surgery. That was no joke. So I think injury definitely created the necessity to learn that stuff. But you know, when it comes to the cold, like just listening to Wim Hof, who's pretty damn charismatic, you know, he says feeling is understanding, feeling is believing. Just try it. And you start doing 50 Wim Hof breaths all the way in, halfway out for 5 rounds, it shifts your neurochemistry.
Yeah.
Like you feel high. That's why he's got the shirts, get high on your own supply. Like it works to change the neurochemistry. And you dip into the cold, all of a sudden you're less sore. You feel better. You have energy throughout the day, and it resets the circadian rhythm, so you sleep better. You can go to bed earlier. I used to stay up till midnight or 1 a.m. every night, and I couldn't fall asleep. Now I can go to bed at 9 or 10, and part of that's having a kid, you know?
Yeah.
Like they'll reset the circadian rhythm. Like just
good
by
God. When is bedtime?
The kids will I find myself sometimes like Doug just had one. Anders is about to have his first.
My life's about to be over.
It's just about to begin. At the same time. Yeah, pretty much. But I mean, it's I'll be like laying down on the couch with the kids watching a movie at like 7 o'clock, and I'm passing out now. You know, it's just like, oh my God, kids. Holy shit, yeah. You're exhausting.
They're a ball of energy.
We're going to take a little break. When we get back, you're talking about the hot and cold, but this is kind of just the surface level of the experimentation you do on yourself to test everything that's out there.
Yeah,
we're
going to
dig
deep into
it. Let's do it.
Cool.
Shark family, hope you're enjoying the show with Kyle Kingsbury. Guy's such a savage, right? Going from MMA fighter, total gangster in the UFC. Now he is running the On It podcast and just on some next level stuff when it comes to human optimization. Want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Four Sigmatic. They came on last week and I love their products. I have a little morning coffee with some mushrooms in it, some lion's mane, some chaga. Every time I go to do a little conditioning piece, I take some cordyceps. Those are supposed to be good for cardiovascular gains. Really enjoyed our conversation with them last week. Get over to foursigmatic.com/shrug. You're going to save 15% on your first order. And let's be honest, you need mushrooms in your life. There's so many good reasons to be eating mushrooms. Do you know what an adaptogen is? It's like having a savings account of health stored inside you. That's what mushrooms do. They're deposits into your savings account of health. Four Sigmatic, foursigmatic.com/shrugged to save 15% on your first order. And then get over to tryomax.com. You're going to get a free box of fish oils. I take these things every single morning. I got like a little supplement regimen. I get some Organifi in the morning. I get all my fish oils from Omax. Get a little bit of coffee, a little bit of mushrooms. It's awesome working with these companies. They're so good. We had Evan DeMarco on here, and I told him the most embarrassing story of my life of when I crapped my pants because I took too many fish oils. So don't do that. However, if you're going to take the fish oils, take the appropriate amount, because in that amount, you're going to get really healthy. You're going to have better cognition, better long-term health, cardiovascular health, brain health, all the things. It's just something that you need more of in your life. There's a natural balance between 1-to-1, 3-to-1 of omega-3s and 6s. And what we're trying to get is additional omega-3s, EPA, DHA, in your body. But you can't just get it from anywhere. You got to get it from the places that are healthy. You got to get it from the best places, the best sources. Omax is our choice at the Shrug Collective for delicious omega-3s. Tryomax.com/shrug. You're going to get a free box of fish oils. Tryomax.com. TryOmax.com/shrug for a free box of fish oils. Back to the show. Welcome back to Barbell Shrug. We're here at On It Gym. Kyle Kingsbury talking about some human optimization. You are the test dummy to everything you're doing to yourself.
The guinea pig.
The guinea pig.
Don't take that the wrong way.
Oh, you're good. Some of it's probably more dummy than not, but if this process starts at the very easy buy-in of hot and cold, the ice baths, maybe getting in the sauna every day, 10, 15 minutes just to kind of start to adapt to these external stressors. What's kind of the next level for you, and where can people take this?
Well, I mean, there's really no limit to biohacking as a term, which I think is kind of a silly-ass term. But, I mean, you know, when I think of biohacking, obviously there's hot and cold temperature stuff. That's really just ancestral living. You know, if I'm thinking of, like, truly biohacking, maybe that would look like something we're doing now with the vitamin IV treatments. And we've partnered with Dr. Craig Conover out of South Carolina, and he's amazing. He's a guy that worked with Ben Greenfield and a few other guys that I can't mention. And, you know, we're doing NAD plus IV treatment, which is really cutting edge. And, you know, anytime I do something cutting edge for the life hack of the week through On It, everyone's like, yeah, put your fucking tin cap on. And, you know, that kind of, there's resistance there. There's resistance when I put on transdirect cranial stem on the dome. But, I mean, everything that I'm doing and promoting is stuff that I actually do. And it's also stuff that is backed by science. Otherwise, I wouldn't toy around with it, you know. So, I mean, DARPA, I don't know if you guys remember that Rogan talking about Radiolab doing a thing called 9-volt Nirvana in 2014. Mm-mm. It's pretty cool. They talked about this reporter went to trained with DARPA for a sniper drill, and she had never shot a gun in her life. And they hooked her up with a sniper rifle, or maybe not a sniper. I think it was just a whatever the military.
Yeah, M16.
There we go. Yeah. So she's got the M16, and it's full weight, even though it's not shooting real rounds. And it's, I think, 20 targets throughout, and it's supposed to last 10 minutes. And she goes into total panic and hits maybe two targets. Then they hook her brain up and juice it full of the fucking electricity.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of this. Now people are doing it on their own.
Yeah, well, that's where the video gamers are trying to start make their own stuff, and there's no real limit.
Like
to
that Halo neuroscience type?
Halo's an advanced version of that. So, and you can use that for many different things. I mean, people are using it to learn second languages. People are using it for balance training or learning new physical requirements, which would be something like sniper training. But DARPA's been using it. I mean, if the military's investing money in it, and they've been doing it for 4 years at least.
If we're finding out about it.
It's got some credibility, yeah. Right? So, I get some slack for things like that when I recommend them. But the low-tech stuff, you know, that people seem to gravitate towards that more from our community. So if I show, you know, a simple farmer walk finisher, they're like, yeah, all right, I can buy into that. But the NAD plus treatment is a big one. And again, that goes back to how we influence the mitochondria. It really pays dividends there. If I think of something like a dietary change, like going keto, it's funny because usually people that talk about it, it's like the holy grail. It has to be done. It's the best thing ever. And I don't want to sound like, you know, a total evangelist and preacher when it comes to that. But, I mean, having taken quite a few lumps playing football since I was 10 and then fighting professionally as a light heavyweight in the same division as guys like Chuck Liddell, I took a fair amount of beatings. And I've never felt my brain turn on the way that it has from going low-carb and doing a ketogenic diet. That's why I keep circling back to it. It's not something I stay in year-round. I don't believe it's something for everyone. Certainly not if you follow a guy like Weston A. Price and you look at, you know, different indigenous cultures and what they ate. It's pretty wide variety. You know, if you're closer to the equator, that's probably smaller prey, chicken and fish, and a lot more carbohydrates. And those people probably aren't designed to do well on a high-fat, low-carb diet. But if you've got ancestry from northern Europe and different parts that are closer to the poles where it's colder, at least 3 months a year you went without carbohydrates. Because they weren't getting shipped in from Panama and Mexico.
They right? weren't?
You can't get berries from Mexico year-round.
There was no Apple.
There was no Amazon.
Yeah. And there was no refrigeration. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, you think about it just in terms like that. It's like, all right, maybe this is a key to metabolic flexibility. Maybe this is a key to a lot of the health problems that come down to insulin resistance, like type 2 diabetes, even type 3 diabetes, which they're calling Alzheimer's and Parkinson's dementia, any of these things that we have seen skyrocket. You know, and most of the people listening to this show are probably in pretty good shape and don't need to worry about that. But at the same time, from a genetic standpoint, I read Wired to Eat by Rob Wolf.
Great
and
book.
Just to start looking at my own, like, what is a good carb versus a bad carb? If I'm going to eat carbohydrates, I should know which carbs are good for me and which ones are causing inflammation and weight gain. And surprisingly, there was quite a few carbohydrates that I didn't tolerate well. White rice being the main culprit. But I can have a plate of sweet potatoes and yams covered in honey, and I look perfect.
When you say you don't,
there it is.
When you say you don't tolerate them well, what do you mean?
Get some sweet potatoes.
So checking postprandial blood glucose, you know, I would see it skyrocket, like way past pre-diabetic level. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's 2 hours after you do a blood glucose reading, you know, like a diabetic would. I had already been doing that for blood ketones from doing the ketogenic diet. And never really saw a reason to look at carbohydrates until I read Wired to Eat. And I was like, oh, this makes sense. If I'm going to eat carbohydrates, I should know which ones are inflammatory and an issue and which ones are not. Because, you know, just in the studies he did, N=1, with him and his wife, he saw that he can't eat white rice. His wife can eat as much white rice as she wants, and she's fine. Hummus, out of 800 people, over 50%. Hummus, you would never think to cause blood sugar spikes because of the fiber and the protein and the fat content, which all is supposed to slow down blood sugar. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case. Over 50% of the population that was studied had a huge blood sugar spike that put them in a pre-diabetic level. So really knowing what's right and what's wrong, and then also knowing, like, okay, so I can't eat white rice. But maybe after I crush myself in the gym it's okay to get the blood sugar spike for the anabolic window, all that kind of stuff, if you buy into that.
Yeah.
And that's okay if I want to make my insulin jump through the roof for a recovery aspect. So
was the hummus due to the like the chickpea, or was it due to like the canola oil and the oils that they use inside of hummus?
Yeah, good hummus, they're going to use olive oil only. But, okay. I mean, I think it was just more to do with the population didn't tolerate those carbohydrates well. And that's probably because the 800 people, I think, were studied. I think it was done here in the States. So I'm willing to bet in, you know, Greece and the Mediterranean and different places where hummus is quite popular that they can get away with hummus a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Similarly to, you know, you look at why is white rice an issue for so many people, but it's not for the Okinawans and the Japanese and the Chinese. Well, those people have been eating it longer.
Yeah, like the Chinese,
I mean, I'm sure they are adapted to eat white rice and not have issues. So I think just figuring out what's right for you, because there's no one right diet that's right for everybody, but that takes some due diligence and a little homework.
Yeah, I mean, if you look in a textbook and you look at, like, potatoes versus hummus or just some type of bean, typically the values for how they're going to spike your blood sugar for potatoes is going to be, like, 98 out of 100 versus beans are going to be, like, 25 out of 100 as far as how it's going to spike your blood sugar. But those are averages. There's going to be a bell curve and a spectrum there of how you respond to it. So unless you actually test yourself, you're going to have no idea how you respond to it.
Yeah, you can't go based off what everyone else is doing. And you really can't just say, like, most of my ancestry, I think, is from the equator. I can do better with carbs. Most of my ancestry is from, you know, Scotland, so I should do better with the higher fat meals. You know, like, but a lot of people that are here in the States are some form of mutt, you know, and what you take, like, if my parents had five kids, every one of us would look different genetically. Every one of us would have differences in carb tolerances. Just because we have the same parents does not mean we take on the same traits, and that's why taking a deeper dive into what's right for you is really important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when resist, you know, like, I don't know when it was that I first started hearing the term being thrown around, maybe like 3 years ago, but resistant starches, mm-hmm. right? So like feeding your gut biome and everything, and you know the two foods that are the highest in resistant starches, like cold white rice or like potatoes and like starches.
Those are different forms of resistant starch. You have like R2, R3, you know, resistant starch that's cooked and cooled would be one class. And, you know, obviously sushi rice falls into that category. That doesn't create a huge jump. It still is not, I wouldn't call that a health food for me.
Right.
But if I've put in work and I know I'm going to eat sushi at night or go to all you can eat sushi, I'm damn sure going to crush it in the gym that day mm-hmm. just to mitigate some of that and really have my muscles and liver screaming for glycogen restoration. Then I'm okay. I've covered some of the bases. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, looking at raw potato starch and green banana powder or green plantains, green bananas, that's going to be in a different category, resistant starch as well. And there's a lot of science that shows that helps feed the microbiome. But the truth is, in my own studies, because, I mean, after I did a 50K ultra in ketosis, it was great. I was 238 pounds, finished the race, no problems.
That's a large person to go that far.
Kyle's running!
They're like, look at, everyone is like, man, there's a bodybuilder running
sure
out here.
Sure wasn't 50
He doesn't
steps.
Have a camelback. But it was funny because I'm not a bodybuilder, but to distance runners, I look like King Kong.
and Godzilla!
I was the only guy who intelligently did not have a camelback. Everyone else had a camelback. And so what happened was I had already had some bit of candida and parasites in my body. And when you run that long and you don't have enough water, the body will start pulling from different places like the intestines, which can immediately cause leaky gut syndrome. So I had candida and parasites go systemic. And it was really bad. It took me a year to battle through that. But one thing I found was raw potato starch in particular feeds the bad guys as well as the good guys. So there are some things that you have to play with and learn, and I had to learn that the hard way because I couldn't put my finger on it why I kept getting head colds, and it was every time I would load up with raw potato starch.
Wow.
So there are some things to that. It's not like, oh, this feeds good bacteria, you know, X plus Y equals Z for everyone. It doesn't necessarily. There's many variables that play into those things, and we find that out now. You know, I've interviewed Dr. Michael Ruscio, who's a speaker at PaleoFX. He just wrote a book. I forget what the name of it is, but he's not only a gut specialist, he's an autoimmune specialist. And one of the things we were getting into is that we're really in the infancy of understanding how the microbiome works. And it's you can't just look at a population of Africans and say they have this in their gut, so that's what we should have to be healthy. It's bullshit. They're also grounding every day. They're immersed in soil. based organisms. You know, their water isn't as clean as ours, and they do fine with that.
You're literally taught when you're there, like, don't step on their grass if you're American, because you'll get like a parasitic infection. I mean, like, we're that different that we'll, like, if we step on grass, we'll get a parasite. When I was in Africa, it was like, don't take your shoes off.
I assumed.
I was like, oh.
When I was on safari, I assumed that I could just go drink the water, and our guide was like, don't even try. You will die right away. There's no, like, I can't get you out of the jungle quick enough if you drink the water here. Like, we're not adapted for the earth we live on anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's really important, too, though, that people understand, like, all these things that you're talking about, and they come with a context, and you have to have this very basic level of, like, hormone levels when you eat a carbohydrate. What happens? What is protein doing for your body? What is fat doing to your body? And then we can start adjusting and turning the dials on these things, because you're really talking about the compounding effect of these tiny little things that you're already adding to a system that's been built for years and years, and how you're able to really dial it in specifically to you. And I think that comes just, there's so much learning that goes on at the basic level before, and in the systems that you implement into your life before we start really dialing into, like, am I going to go keto? It's one of the things that it's really strange that happens in nutrition. It was like one of the things I noticed in the paleo diet when it first came out was a lot of the testing gets done on cancer patients, type 2 diabetes, and then all of a sudden a bunch of performance athletes are in here killing themselves, and they haven't had a carbohydrate in a year, and they're wondering why they're so burnt out. How do you kind of deliver that message to people? And the things you're doing may not be the best for others, so what does that conversation look like?
Yeah, and I get asked that question a lot. I think there's a couple things. One, if the goal is weight loss, it's hard to argue against a ketogenic diet, at least periodically.
Yeah.
You know, at least for an 8 to 12 week stretch, and then doing some type of carbohydrate backloading after that. Once you've become keto adapted and your body has metabolic flexibility, you've lowered some insulin resistance. And going back to hormones, we're really talking about insulin here.
Yeah.
You know, if we eat every day, we start the day with carbohydrates, you know, for breakfast, carbohydrates for lunch, carbohydrates as a snack before dinner. I mean, we put ourselves on this insulin roller coaster where blood sugar skyrockets, insulin tries to match, it drops blood sugar, and then we're starved for carbohydrates again, right? So one of the things we talk about in Own the Day, Own Your Life by Aubrey Marcus, just released April 17th.
Boom.
New York Times bestseller list. Plug, plug, plug.
bang, bang.
One of the things we talk about is at the very least, you want to do carbohydrate backloading. At the very least, you want to have either skip breakfast or have an optimized coffee, you know, loaded with fat and protein. And then for lunch, you can have, like Mark Sisson calls it, a big-ass salad. Keep that lower in carbohydrates, or some type of food that's lower in carbohydrates, higher in fat. You can get a shake, make your own shake, whatever the case is, or just snack on macadamia nuts, which are really high in great fats. And then save your carbohydrates for night after you've moved throughout the day, after you've had, you know, a good workout, and your body is literally craving that carbohydrate.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to put that on as fat. You'll be burning fat for fuel throughout the day. You don't have the roller coaster going on with insulin and carbohydrates. And I think that's a great first place to start for people. When you're talking about athletes that are getting into a ketogenic diet, obviously, you know, Steve Finney and Jeff Volek were working with long distance runners, and they saw, hey, it works great for those guys. But people that burn things glycolytically, I have a lot of fighters ask me, like Matt Brown and different people, can I do this in fighting? And I'm like, maybe, maybe not. You know, like, it's good in between fight camps to help the brain heal and lower inflammation. But when you're burning that much carbohydrates, at the very least, you have to do something like targeted keto, which I think his name's Louis Villasenor, the keto gains guy.
Yep.
He's been really big on that, and that can range based on how hard the workout is.
Yep.
It might be 10 grams of glucose for one person. It might be 20 grams of a different carbohydrate for somebody else, depending on how hard the workout is. But taken at the beginning of the workout, not an hour before, you can help balance that need for glycogen in a high-intensity interval training session, jiu-jitsu, things like that. It's something I've been playing with more to find the right range, so I'm still making ketones at night. But once you find that, you can have the best of both worlds. You know, it's not have your cake and eat it too. It's more like have your beet juice extract with the workout and then stay making ketones by night. And that's really the happy medium for me, where I don't have to worry about added inflammation just for the sake of being able to deadlift more or something like that, you know?
I've done that before, and it worked out really, really well for me. Like, I used to compete in weightlifting in the 94-kilo class, weighing 207 when you weigh in. which you don't have as much time to weigh in for weightlifting as you do for MMA. You don't got that 24-hour period usually. But then I'd fight welterweight at 170. I only had 8 amateur fights, but when I'd be bouncing back and forth between these two weight classes all the time, so I'd make big cuts to fight for MMA, and I would almost always only have like the bulk of my carbohydrates, like 80% of my carbohydrates for the day were just like in my workout shake. And that helped me have the intensity that I needed for training, but then the rest of the day, my calories and my carbohydrate content was really, really low, and it worked out beautifully.
I, on the other hand, completely messed up my career by following Lauren Cordier's, you know, the athlete.
Oh, the Paleo Diet for Athletes.
Yeah.
I read that. So you're just cramming raisins down your throat?
Well, I mean, I was ketogenic almost since 22 years old through like 28. And then like only doing like what Lauren Cordier said and just, you know, completely being, you know, having like adrenal fatigue and like I'd hit second round and I'd feel like my hands weighed 1,000 pounds because I had no glucose left in me. You know, it was very, wish I would have, you know, dove deeper into it before experimenting it with like a professional career at the same time. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, that is tough. But I mean, that was
the learning.
There's self-experimentation and learning. And, you know, I think there's more great information out now. We're really in a beautiful time. I tell people to get the Keto Reset Diet by Mark Sisson because it's the most up-to-date piece of material that I've read where they dispel a lot of the myths. You know, can women do it? Will it influence hormonal changes and around, you know, the monthly cycle, around having kids? Yes, but only if you're going to the extreme. Like, I never advocate a zero-carb diet. That's bullshit. You know, that means you're not even getting cruciferous vegetables in like kale and cauliflower and broccoli. And I think that's another key miss. You know, a lot of people associate a low-carb diet with the Atkins diet, which is Dimidine sausage and boatloads of shitty protein and meat. You know, if you're still getting grass-fed animals and things that are anti-inflammatory, you know, if you can get away with – not all cheese is created equal. They talk about that in The Plant Paradox by Dr. Stephen Gundry. Most cheese comes from Holstein cows that are black and white cows because they produce the most milk. Mm. They create casein, A1 casein, which is inflammatory. That's a case of morphine. When they talk about cheese being morphinogenic, it literally will fit into opiate receptors in the brain. It's addictive. But Southern European cows create A2 casein. And for a lot of people that don't have a lactose intolerant, they're just fine with Southern European cow cheese. I myself am fine with that. I don't get stiff joints. I don't get beat up from it. So there's different resources we can find to really fine-tune what's right for us. But ultimately, what is your goal? You know, you have to understand the why for anything. If your goal is to be the strongest you can possibly be in powerlifting, why would you do a ketogenic diet? You don't need to. You know, but if your goal is to cut weight in between competitions, then yeah, go keto and come back to carbs and do better for it because your body will utilize those carbohydrates better.
Yeah.
There's a time and a place for everything.
I haven't read Mark Sisson's The Keto Reset, but is it kind of – does it go in the direction of leptin, kind of like getting the leptin cycle moving again?
Yeah. He touches on the science from a lot of things, but the thing that I really appreciated about it was, you know, women can get away with that with moderate carbohydrates. Like, and because they can get away with more carbohydrates, like my wife can add 80 carbs a day and still produce 1 millimolar of ketones. You know, like she's still deep in ketosis nutritionally at 80 grams a day. Oh. You know, whereas that would be far higher than most men can handle. At the same time, they look at things like typically if I was to, you know, have a bad meal and get out of ketosis, what would be the best way to get back in to shorten that 4-day span and cut it to a day? Most people would say go for, you know, like even Tim Ferriss has said, like go for a long walk. Walk for 4 or 5 miles. So that'll help you burn fat and get your ketones up. And the truth is it'll get ketones higher because you're just burning fat, but that doesn't really get you back into ketosis quicker. High-intensity intervals do.
Yeah.
And you won't see your ketones go up because the muscle's burning ketones while you're doing that workout. Yeah. But what's the fastest way? It's to dump all that glycogen out. Yeah. Get it out of the muscle, get it out of the liver, and force your body to go back into ketosis quicker. Mm-hmm. And if you've done it for 8 to 12 weeks and you're keto adapted, then you shouldn't have a problem making that change happen much faster. And so that gives people a little leeway, like, hey, I want to go out to eat with my friends and I don't want to be a dick and I'll get like 6 tablespoons of olive oil added to my shitty salad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you can have some fun. You can live life as a human being and really not pay the consequences for it.
I feel like up until this point, you've already mentioned like dozens of authors and you understand the research. Like, is that something that you you did on your own? Like, you just read a lot on your own? You're always doing research? Or did you actually have an academic background in some of this stuff going through college and whatnot?
College was communication and sociology and a little bit of philosophy. And it's funny because podcasting now, I kind of do use my degree for what I'm doing as a podcast host.
That was like a football player schedule?
Yeah.
That was like a football player.
That was the football player's.
Whenever I hear a football player, like a soccer player, they're like,
keep you eligible.
They're like, I'm an English major, communication specialist.
Yeah.
It's like, what does that even mean?
I have a 2.51.
Perfect.
That's over in the hundredth.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm above 2.5. But no, you know, I mean, it was really post-college infighting where I decided, like, I think the first thing was I read How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy by Paul Check.
Yeah.
Oh,
I did an elimination diet, realized I was gluten intolerant, and that changed so much for me. Mm. And I was like, fuck, man, if that one little change can happen from food alone, that really planted the seed for me to want to learn more. Mm. And, you know, through fighting, you know, having – I could literally look at that time clock in a 24-hour cycle, how many hours a day was I spending playing video games? How many hours a day was I watching TV and doing shit that was not benefiting me? And then can I shift that more towards something that's going to plant seeds for the future and really come back to help me long term? There was, you know, that ended my video game career. That literally ended that. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife and I got rid of our TV a few months ago.
It didn't totally end it. You were in a video game.
That's right, man. And it's funny because I was in Mafia 3 as the main character.
He was the face of Mafia 3.
Finally.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I bought it just to play. I was like, I'm Kyle Kingsbury. I'm going to kill this
I finally know what it's like.
Every move in that game is me. I did all the 2K mocap for it.
That's
and,
awesome.
And it's funny because I don't even have a PlayStation 4 to play.
You know,
like, I played the game at my brother-in-law's. I got him the game so I could play it over there. But
that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what sparked the interest to want to read and learn more. And then, you know, like one of my favorite quotes is Bruce Lee's, it's not enough to know, we must do. You know, mm-hmm. So reading and learning and then trying and implementing and refining and fine-tuning, that's been the name of the game. And the more I experiment on myself, like Tim Ferriss does and like Ben Greenfield does, mm-hmm. the better the results, you know, because that teaches me what works for me and what really is impactful.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lifelong practice. You know, there's no end game there.
So that experimenting on yourself, though, has also kind of led into your research and development and the product development for what you guys are doing here at Onnit. What goes into that process for you guys? And if you're allowed to talk about, what are you guys working on?
Yeah, well, I can't give you too much info on stuff that we haven't created yet, but we can definitely talk about the process. You know, when Aubrey brought me in here, I thought I was just going to take over the Onnit podcast. I didn't know what the other things entailed. But, you know,
you didn't know his master plan.
Yeah, man.
Hey, why don't you just come and train a little bit?
He knew me better than I knew myself, you know, and I've been playing with supplements since creatine 6000 ES from Muscle Tech was out. You know,
yes.
I think I was 15 years old taking that, like, whoa, I'm stronger. Mm-hmm. And, so, yeah, I get to work on, you know, product development for supplements and for some of the food products we're designing right now is just as big of a passion of mine as the podcast is. And, you know, we do the social media and things like that. That's fun. But, I mean, really, it's about what stuff are we creating that has an impact on people. And it's cool because, you know, getting plugged in, we have teams for everything. You know, like, it's not like I'm on my own in any one particular thing, and coming into these teams that have been working and already creating great products long before I got here, it's been awesome. You know, they go to trade shows and they come back and just dump all the samples on my desk and say, see what works. You know, and I'm like, all right, well, we got an idea for this product. We got an idea for that product. Let's start combining shit. And my desk is the kitchen, you know, and I'm the lab. And when I find something that works, I pass that on to Aubrey and a few of the other guys, John Wolf, Primal Soldier. You know, and if we get the thumbs up, then we pass it on to some of our athletes. We work with Exos now. They used to be API. Actually, when I was at ASU, that was their only location, was right there in Tempe, right by the football field. And they work with, you know, some of the best pro athletes in the world. I think they have 90% of the military contracts, all special forces. We had 12 guys that are going into the NFL draft here, but between their 400 locations, I think they have 90 going into the league this year.
Wow.
I mean, they are performance. So we've been working on things, and we can talk about that. Like, most products we've created on it are a combination of different ingredients to create something new. And a lot of those single ingredients are things that are already backed by science, so it's not like we're taking a huge risk by combining them with other like-minded products to create something unique. But having Exos as a partner now, and we're providing them with all their supplements, we get to have the sports performance line. So that means back to the basics. You know, we've created creatine monohydrate.
Yeah.
Right, guys?
It's a whopper. Are we loading it still? Are we loading it still or no?
No, no load.
Good.
No load. But, yeah, it's funny because it's like, man, we really
the
just.
Load phase. I forgot about that. That's so funny.
20 grams a
20
day.
20 grams a day.
Yeah, then you could go into your base period, then reload in 6 more weeks.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's funny because it's like that's like the most bottom of the barrel basic ass supplement ever.
Yeah,
but they need it, and you know, it's nice for our fans to be able to get that from one place. And I just like the fact that it is the most science-backed supplement ever created, you know. And now they're looking at it as a nootropic, because anything that feeds the mitochondria and creates more ATP influences the brain as well as the muscle. And so that's cool to have that in-house. I get it for free. That's a sweet deal. You know, making a electrolyte product that we came out with for Exos as well that uses platinose. It's a beet sugar, lower glycemic index, but still helping with glycogen restoration and things like that. Much higher levels of electrolytes like magnesium and things we actually need in training than you'd get in Gatorade. So that's been a cool project, you know. And then really looking forward to the future, we just got to go out to me and a couple other members of the product development team went out to New Jersey for Supply Side East, which is a giant convention where a lot of supplement developers will put in the research, get things patented, and then try to ship it out to larger companies like ours that have the marketing. And it's our job when we go through there to really have an idea of what we want to create, and then just start to piece together all the parts to that, try it out, see if it works, and then pass that on. And I think that's been a cool process to be a part of.
Oh, it's very cool.
That's awesome.
Where can people find you?
I am at Kingsbu, KingsBu, on Twitter and Instagram. I will not friend you on Facebook because I never go on there and I'm maxed out. But you can find us at
you
on
need
it.
A fan page now, dude.
I know. I do need a fan page, but I can't stand Facebook.
Yeah, it's brutal.
If I post on Facebook, it's because I clicked the Facebook link on my Instagram post. That's it. That's the only time I'm active there. But
and then you see all the red dots. You're like, get me out. I'm out.
That,
go.
That seems to be the standard now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know very many people that use Facebook exclusively. It's all Instagram push to Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got that. We got at On It for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I do the On It Facebook Live every other week now on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central Time. So that's a 30-minute Q&A. People can just jump on and ask me any question they have on anything, supplements, diet, health and wellness, plant medicines, whatever. Nothing's off topic. So that's been a cool one. And then, of course, check us out at the On It Podcast, available where all fine podcasts are located, such as yourselves.
Right on. Von Roth.
Yeah.
Strong coffee. Tell us about it. We had some this morning. Freaking delicious.
Thank you. Yeah.
Stuff is killer. Time release, I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
Stuff is killer. I don't even know all the things. L-theanine, is that what we got?
Yeah, we got L-theanine.
I can feel it right now.
Yeah.
That's why this podcast was so dope today.
Yeah.
L-theanine.
Yeah. Sophisticated energy.
Right.
You know, so it's L-theanine, coconut water extract, hyaluronic acid, MCT oil, and collagen all in cold brew instant coffee. So it's a 100% instant solution to most people's energy and nutritional needs. Great way to break your fast and kind of get things going in the AM. You can find me at Strong Coffee Company or at Von Rothfelder.
Dig it.
Oh, yeah.
Doug Larson.
And it's delicious.
It is delicious.
You have to tell people it's delicious.
You know, it is delicious. And I'm, you know, to be honest with you, if I could just take a half a second longer, I'm always amazed when I give it to guys like you who, you know, strike me as somebody who's going to be like, oh, I'm a black coffee guy, or I'm a this, or I'm a that, and then you have it. And I mean, it is delicious, and it's sweet. You know, I jokingly say it's like coffee and donut had a baby. You know, and it's like it's that good, right? Dessert fucking.
Think about it. T-shirt coming soon.
So I mean, it's been amazing, and just kind of seeing the response from it. It's been really incredible, and I'm excited for our other flavors that are coming out. We're coming out with an unsweetened, and then we're going to come out with a caffeine free, because Doug was telling me how much his wife loves it so much, and he's like, I would drink this, but I don't want the caffeine, and all the other things inside of it are so beneficial that the caffeine is just kind of like an added bonus to those that need it.
Dude, the decaf can be what I drink before I go to bed as a little desserts fucking.
Especially with L-theanine in there.
Right? Yeah. You got to have it.
Yeah. Yep.
What do you got, Doug?
Obviously, you can find me on everything Barbell Shrug and Barbell Collective. You can follow me on Instagram at Douglas E. Larson.
Right on. Get into the Shrug Collective on all the socials. Get into iTunes, YouTube, like, subscribe, share everything. Leave us a 5-star review. We'll see you guys next week. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Want to go back over all the sponsors. Make sure you get into the vault. 11 training programs, 3 long-term, 8 short-term. Mobility, food prep, Olympic weightlifting, CrossFit, you name it, we got it in there. Shrugcollective.com/vault. $47 for 11 strength conditioning programs, our best-selling programs. Make sure you get over there. Organifi.com/shrugged. Saving 20% on your first order. Make sure you get that sunrise to sunset Shrugged stack in your life. Get your green drink in the morning. You need the vitamins and minerals. Organifi.com/shrugged. For Sigmatic, FourSigmatic, FourSigmatic.com/shrugged. Saving 15%. Getting all your mushroom needs in some delicious substances like coffee, matcha tea, hot chocolate, all the things. FourSigmatic.com/shrugged. Save 15%. And then Omax Health, omega-3 fish oils, TryOmax.com/shrugged. TryOmax.com/shrugged for a free box of omega-3 fish oils. Make sure you get it. Brain health, joint health, tissue health, all things health. TryOmax.com/shrugged for a free box of fish oil pills. See you guys next week.